the marketing world and you're looking for inspiration, or you're a business leader who wants to understand what good marketing looks like, you're busy. You don't have time to sit around listening to a rambling 3-hour podcast. We get it. This is the Remarkable Marketing Podcast, where we celebrate the marketing rock stars that deliver truly remarkable marketing. And you'll hear short interviews with marketing execs who share stories about the best marketing they've ever done, how it delivered a huge impact, and how they overcame all the challenges to make it happen. If you aspire to be remarkable, you'll walk away with ideas on how to do truly epic marketing, getting right to the content of what you need for busy professionals. This is the Remarkable Marketing Podcast. Now your host, Eric Eden.
Welcome to today's episode. Our guest today is Stacy. She has been a Fortune 500 marketing leader who has turned into doing consulting, coaching, and she's written several great books. She's worked with over 45 B2B brands to help them simplify their go-to-market strategy and achieve their growth goals. Welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Appreciate you being here. Before we jump into a story about some of the best marketing you've done, why don't you give us a minute or two of context about who you are and what you do?
So as you mentioned, I started my career in the corporate side of marketing. I worked for five different Fortune 500 companies before deciding to start my own consultancy. And I have since worked really specializing with B2B brands and helping to simplify their marketing strategy. I have found that a lot of companies get in, they want to start executing right away. And then fast forward a couple of years and they realize something's not working. They don't necessarily know what that something is. That's generally when I get called in to help reevaluate the go-to-market strategy and recognizing that, let's say there's seven steps to building a marketing strategy. Everybody wants to start at step seven, execute. And so I can rewind and help them go back to the basics. I do not work with startups. I work with scaling organizations who really want to have more sophistication and become more customer focused and add value for customers so that in the long term, they continue to thrive as a business.
Awesome. And you've written a couple books that I think are pretty relevant to marketers who want to be remarkable. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the books you've done?
Yes. Okay. So I co-wrote two books with a couple of other authors who are out in the UK. The first was called Valueology. It's all about how to build a valued proposition that is profitable and will sell. The book is aimed at marketing and sales professionals. What we found is that most marketing teams are responsible for creating value propositions, and yet they've never learned how to create a value proposition. And so this is bridging the gap between marketing, sales, and what customers want so that you can communicate more effectively. The second is Standout Marketing. This is also something we did a bunch of research and we realized there's this massive sea of sameness out there that companies are telling the exact same story to customers, the exact same why us story. We started digging into why this was really happening. And what we found was that there is a competency gap within organizations. And so we identified five key competencies that make up the acronym VALUE that marketing and sales teams really need to focus on if they want to stand out. A lot of marketing teams, as I mentioned, are skipping steps, or you have impatient leadership that's making people skip steps. And so there's this huge sort of talent gap happening within marketing. So that one's all about how to build those competencies. And then I wrote a mini book that's an ebook called Look Inside, The Real Reason You're Not Winning the Marketing Game. And this one is aimed at CEOs primarily to really understand, you know, the fundamentals of marketing. I came up with a model that I call the A3 model that talks about how you need alignment, accountability, and then acceleration in your marketing plan. Everybody wants to start with accelerate, skipping those first two steps. And so that book is aimed for CEOs.
Sounds like three really great books for marketers to read. I assume it was just really simple to crank those out, like a walk in the park.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, exactly. It was a process, that's for sure. And I'm happy to chat with anybody who thinks they have a book in them. I can walk through the process. It was a great journey, especially as a consultant, because I have a lot of frameworks and tools and stories and all this stuff. And it was the book like forces you to put everything together into a chapter that somebody can digest and understand.
And it's a great way to share all the great knowledge you have with people.
Yeah.
Thanks for doing that. So let's jump in and tell us a story. We're ready to be inspired.
Yeah.
You've worked with a lot of great brands. Tell us a story about some of the best marketing you've done that's had some great impact.
So I want to start with a trend that I see happening within a lot of organizations right now. And that is there's three common marketing traps that I am finding that companies are falling into. The first is the random acts of marketing. This is no cohesive strategy. It's let's do a campaign, let's do an event, let's do another campaign, and nothing really seems to be connected. The second is the silver bullet approach. That's the belief that there is one thing that's going to help move the needle, and we're constantly looking for a silver bullet, and other companies seem to have figured it out, but we just need to figure it out for ourselves. And then the third is this bright, shiny object syndrome. This is happening in a lot of scaling organizations where everyone's a marketer, everyone has an idea. And so we tend to chase the new flavor of the day or the new tactic or the new technology of the day. And so what I have realized working with a lot of companies is that there's not a marketing problem per se. There is an alignment problem. And so my story is going to be around achieving alignment. It's very hard to do, actually. And it's something that I think a lot of marketers are expected to do. If you think of all of the departments and how the company is organized, marketing is in this kind of pole position to be able to organize and orchestrate everything. And yet, many are not rising to that challenge. And one of the things that I like to do is to break down those barriers, break down those silos, and to help create alignment and buy-in. I think McKinsey has a stat that, you know, over 70% of change initiatives fail due to lack of alignment and lack of buy-in. So that's the context for this. I was working with a client in particular. They sell a software to small, medium business. They're a very well-known brand. They have millions of people that are using their platform. And yet they had this one of those common marketing traps. They had all those. They random acts of marketing, disconnected, bright, shiny object. And the area that we wanted to tackle first was around messaging. And it's around value proposition. So the question of what do we do and why do we do it and why do customers buy from us seems like an easy question. When you start asking this question internally to different departments, to the sales team and to the product team and to the executive team and to the marketing team, you realize you get different answers for this. And so in order for marketing to be effective, we have to really be the drumbeat of a consistent message out in the market, right? If we're constantly changing our mind and one day we're this and the next day we're something else, no, that never resonates with anybody. So I went on this journey with this particular client to help reorganize their value proposition. And we came up with three value themes that are what customers want. This is an interesting way to organize your marketing. So instead of just writing random content, you're now making sure that your content can answer the question, what's in it for our customer? What are we helping our customer achieve? Often we are expecting our customers to connect those dots, or there's like such a broken link. So there's a lot of companies, for example, that have on their homepage, transform your entire organization. And then it's how? Well, you have to buy our project management software. Like really, is a project management software going to transform everybody's lives and the entire business? I don't think so. So we start to get skeptical as customers, right, when we see this. And it's the marketer's job to create a better linkage. Maybe it's transform how your company is managing projects or how you're spending your time. That seems a little bit more believable than transforming your entire organization. Anyways, we ended up coming up with these three themes. And the way that we did that was we looked at customer research and customer data that had been collected. We did interviews with the sales team. And we did interviews with the customer success team. These are the customer-facing departments of the organization. And so all three of those things informed how we came up with these themes. Now, the beauty of this is once, because we were rooting this in data and because we got the buy-in from these different organizations who are interacting with customers, once we presented those three themes back to the organization, everybody was nodding their head in agreement. Yes, we agree these are the three themes. We agree we agree with you. There was no room really for debate because this was not the marketing department's opinion, right? This was now rooted in real data and information. So we got everybody first to agree upon that and align. And then second, started to build out the narrative and the story around each of those three themes. And that is a whole separate sort of other process and skill set of how do you convince somebody and influence somebody that you understand what the problem is, that you understand you can quantify the problem, and that you understand that you have an answer to that problem. And so we went on this journey to build that out and to then, again, going back to the alignment thing, educate everybody else internally. Right? The worst thing that marketing can do is to sit behind their screen and crank out a whole bunch of content that maybe five people understand when the rest of the organization is not following. So we did an internal launch of this, internal training around this, internal talking points, so that the sales team can feel comfortable learning this new narrative and telling this new story so that we now have alignment with what customers are seeing out on the website in the format of content and events and webinars. But also then when they pick up the phone or finally set up a meeting with the sales team, they're now getting consistency with being able to tell that full story. I would say I'm proud of that example because I've had the client come to me and say, we've been trying for years to get alignment on what message we want to say out in the market and how consistently we can tell our story. And you've simplified it with the framework and you helped take our whole entire team through this journey. And now we're getting to see the results of that with the alignment. Everybody's excited about it. Everybody knows what they're working on. The priorities are very clear. And then we're starting to make a real impact in the market with revenue and growth and getting new opportunities because we're now speaking the language of the customer.
So ultimately, did it have a big impact on their growth and in their business?
Yeah. And it's still in progress. Yes. We're seeing like tremendous opportunities that are coming that did not come before because their ads were generic, their cold calling and their outreach and their sales messages were generic. And now we're tailoring that into what customers want and we're connecting the dots for them. And so we're starting to see a lot of new opportunity. Sales is hitting their number. And then we have very aggressive growth targets we're on track to achieve.
I think it's very interesting to get that alignment and the buy-in as you outlined it. I've lived all of the pitfalls that you've said in different organizations in B2B marketing and sales over the years. One of the reasons I think it happens is just because people think about things in different ways cross-functionally, and that's okay. I think the other reason that it happens, though, is if marketers are taking the ivory tower approach and just trying to come up with stuff without talking to the customers and talking to the people who are on the front lines talking to the customers, that's where you get that disconnect that when they try to take forward a story that marketing gives them that doesn't resonate with people, then they just make up stuff of their own. That's generally what's happened. And so it's great to have a process like the one you outlined where it's the opposite of that, if you will.
Yeah. And I think that's a really good point. It is interesting. I've been on both the marketing and the sales side. So what's interesting, when marketing comes up with a story, comes up with a narrative, comes up with a theme, comes up with content, if there is no internal training or alignment with the sales team as to how to tell that story, how to get salespeople confident to tell that story, they will never use it. They're going to stick with what works or they're going to try something that feels confident to them. And so marketers, on the other hand, have never been in a sales role where you have to, it's like improv, right? You have come prepared to tell something and then who knows, they're going to throw a curveball at you and you have to be prepared. And so it's like different skill sets coming together to create something and really recognizing that we're coming from different places, but we want the same thing. Both want to get customers. We're just coming at it from a different angle.
I think some of the best salespeople I've worked with always put their own touch onto the core message. Like some of them are very funny and they come up with great jokes. Other ones are just very suave and they're just the sexiest salesperson alive and they charm people. other salespeople are product gurus and they can answer literally any technical question you have about their product. And it's really interesting to watch how people can take a core message and put their own spin on it. That doesn't mean it they make it any different, but I think that level of customization is okay. But the issue is when you don't have a command of the central message and everybody is just talking about things in their own way, the lack of consistency there is really what trips a lot of organizations up. And one of the favorite things I've done to show organizations and leadership teams that this is a problem is I would actually set up a recording studio in a conference room, and I would have 100 people from the company come in, and I would ask them, what is your elevator pitch about what the company does? And have them talk for 30 seconds. And then I would create a video of how everyone talked about it differently. And it was really the funniest thing you've ever seen, because there's no wrong answers, but some were definitely better than others in terms of describing what the company does and the value proposition and what problem they solve for customers. But it's funny how companies have this problem of being able to clearly convey who they are, what they do, the problem they solve, and the value that they provide. It's really interesting to watch so many companies struggle with that. I would say it's the outlier that companies have figured it out. Is that what you've seen?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. That's pretty much the book I wrote with my colleagues was around this whole topic. We did a bunch of research with organizations. Of course, we worked in our organizations ourselves where this happened. And it is a common problem with B2B companies. And in a B2B company, you have this extra layer that throws a little bit of a wrench into it. And I love what you said about, yeah, making sure that the sales team is trained to tell the story, but they, of course, we want them to put their spin on it. And you could see this happen too, like the light bulb goes off with sellers. Once they've learned the story, then they go tell it, and then they tell it again, and then they see it start to work, and then they start selling, and now they have stories of their own of clients that they've already sold. And so they know the questions to anticipate, they know what to expect, and then they can reference even the clients that they've sold. And so it starts to take on a life of their own, but the core essence of the message is the same. And so it's magical when it happens. It is a lot of work to get there. I've been working with this client for 6 or 7 months now to get to this point of alignment on that, but there's a payoff. But I guess all that to say, the question becomes who drives that? Who drives that process? And you either are needing to bring somebody in externally, or marketing, if they have the skill set on the team, needs to really step up to be that orchestrator to make it happen.
So you're saying it's not easy. What is the hardest part about doing this?
The hardest part, I think, of alignment in general is that you're dealing with different opinions, different personalities, right? Different motivations, different pain points. And so if you think about it as a marketer, it's almost like you have to treat your internal constituents and stakeholders like a customer segment. So you do this exact same process to understand who your customers are, how do they make decisions, what motivates them, what are their pain points, what are their issues, right? You do all of that research so that you can position your product in a favorable way so that they hopefully say yes. You have to do basically apply the same principles to your internal stakeholders. What does the sales team want? What is their motivation? What's their biggest fear? What are their pain points, right? How can marketing help position this thing as the answer to getting what they want? And you rinse, repeat. All right. What about the product team? The product team wants something different, by the way, than the sales team, right? The executive team wants something different than the product team. And so you have to just approach each of these like a customer segment.
I think that's great advice. I've done that a lot in the past, and it's been very helpful. Underlying reason. There's got to be an underlying reason why this is so hard for companies to do. What is that underlying reason? Is it just that it takes a lot of time? Is it just that people don't realize it has to be prioritized? I'm just curious.
Here's my take. I think humans in general have a hard time putting themselves in somebody else's shoes. And so when I have done these workshops and sessions, you hear things like, I never watch video. I never would read a long post. I would never go to YouTube and watch a short, right? And so you hear these, that because they're putting it in their own frame of reference. And I think that's the psychology piece. It's hard for them to get out of their own frame of reference. And so very few companies really have mastered that. I think it was Amazon, right? That's, we're customer first. What does the customer want? How would the customer react? You have to train yourself to actually think about somebody else and how they may react or what they might think or what they might do. And I think that's the hardest part, is that is not natural for people. Even in, think of your own personal relationships, right? It's like, your way, it's like, this, of course, this is how it is. This is my belief and this is what it is. And you may even have a spouse that you've been married to for a long time that has a different way, and it's hard to see their point of view. And so it's the same. Now it's amplified, right, into in an internal organization where you have hundreds of people to convince and rally. And so it's coming at it from a neutral position. Like, I, that's what I would say for marketers. If you can come from a neutral position, I am literally not attached to the outcome of this. I don't care if we do this idea or if we don't do this idea. I'm not trying to sell you anything. I'm just trying to gather everybody and come to one general consensus and collaborative idea. Then you're more detached from it and you can help the process go along versus defending your point of view or defending your opinion.
I think that's 1,000% right. One of the most successful CEOs that I worked for in a very large organization, when there was cross-functional fights, for lack of a better word, differences of opinion, debates between marketing and sales and product and customer success, and people were just thinking about things differently, his advice was, to solve those arguments, you always just need to step back and make the argument from the other person's point of view to try to understand where they're coming from. And if you can do that, then we can probably find middle ground, because he hated being the one that had to arbitrate the between the divisions of who's right, because it's really not a question of who's right and wrong. Sometimes it's a question of better or best, but it's definitely not right or wrong in a lot of cases. It's just different perspectives or different approaches. And so I think that this is a very important thing for people to put into practice. If you can do this, I think you can be very successful in what you've outlined.
Yeah, it's a leadership role, ultimately, right? It's like you're stepping into that leadership function at that point.
Exactly. So you mentioned to me that you had an assessment that people could take to figure out where they're at with their marketing. Can you share a little bit about that?
Created a free scorecard. It's, I think, 20 or 25 questions. It's online. It's quick to fill out. And the whole purpose of it is to help you identify where you have strengths in your marketing approach and where you might have gaps. The only requirement is that you're honest about it, right? We all think that we're very self-aware, and I think we tend to overinflate maybe some of our answers. So if you are honest, it will really illuminate some areas that you should focus on for the business. And this is based on just a little bit of background. I get called into companies, never from really the marketing team for assessment, but from the CEO or the chief revenue officer or the CO, who wants to know how the marketing team is doing, and do they have the right skill sets and the right approach. And so I created this to help marketers really avoid getting blindsided. If you're honest and you're looking at this is what your CEO wants and this is what your CEO expects. And so if you have gaps, it will, and you start to address some of those gaps, then you can bridge those perception issues and expectation issues that your C-suite has of the marketing team.
Awesome. I will drop a link in the show notes for that so everyone can easily get to that. I encourage everyone to share this episode with your friends so that they can get these great insights.
I encourage everyone to check out Stacy's books. And until our episode tomorrow, remember that marketing will never be easy, but it should always be fun.
You've been listening to the Remarkable Marketing Podcast. Our passion is to bring you the marketing rock stars who share stories about the best marketing they've done, how it delivered, and how they handled all the challenges that go along with it. And we do it all in 10 minutes. We only ask two things. First, visit the RemarkableMarketing.io website for more great insights. Second, this podcast has been brought to you by the next generation social networking app, Workverse. You can download and use the Workverse app for free to build your professional brand, become a paid expert advisor, and discover the best business events to attend. Download the Workverse app today. See you next time on the Remarkable Marketing Podcast.